welcome to the 452nd consecutive week of Cinema Psyops. I'm your host, Court, the guy that got a little too high for the show and is now not even sure if that number is correct. And joining me in the confusion of the show number is my co-host, Matt.
The confusion of war, the fog of war, man. The fog of war.
No, it is 452nd. This is 452 right. Weeks that we've been doing this bullshit for everybody, even though we only record bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly. We're totes bi.
Weekly.
Weekly.
We're weekly bye.
We're weekly bye.
Oh, fuck's sakes. Goddamn Al Adamson, dude. We got a way to go. I know, man. This
is, at least yeah. This isn't a clip show. I mean, really, at least we got something new this time around.
It certainly feels like it is one because his stuff is so disjointed and he seems so unconcerned with conventional storytelling in that it should make sense and at least have a through line that you can follow because filmmaking is storytelling. And storytelling usually involves a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, right. And you, I don't know. You know what, though? Unlike last week's movie, this week I got a beginning, middle, and end. At least this flowed and it had a story. Unlike last week's. I mean, say what you want about like everything else about the movie. At least the story was there this week.
Okay. Yeah, it's a story.
For me, at least. Yeah. Unlike yours.
Yeah,
for me.
It's a story for you that flowed. Yeah. Very similar to like Hell's Bloody Devils, right?
Yeah.
Where it's still very disjointed. It still jumps all over the place and it's still really weird about it. But there is a beginning, middle, and end for the most part.
At least, in a really demented way, it kind of makes sense. the plot, you know, the people's, I don't know, plot, but the people's plans in the movie, what they want, it all kind of makes sense. And it's not just, hey, are you searching for vengeance for, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Adamson's a weird dude, man, and your flick is definitely out there. So you had Brain of Blood, correct?
Brain of Blood.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people may not realize this, but Brain of Blood often got packaged in as a Blood Island film. Remember we covered the other Blood Island films
before? Oh, yes.
Yeah, but we didn't cover this. We did not watch this film. But originally, at some point in time, it was sold as a Blood Island film.
Hmm, interesting.
Right. Also got to say, Brain of Blood, artwork on the cover with the zombie looking guy with the exposed brain getting the shockwave of like electricity being drilled into his brain by the mad scientist. Very cool cover artwork.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Very cool. I used that as my phone wallpaper for a while without even knowing it was from this film because I was just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I love it.
Yeah. Fucking, I mean, how could you not?
Right. So that's how Adamson really gets you in is he's got some great posters. If you look at some of his posters, even the stuff like Psycho Agogo and everything.
Yeah.
If you take into mind the context of the year that you would have been seeing this being advertised, right? You totally would understand and you would totally get why somebody would go see some of his films when you look at the posters. That's part of his exploitation is the marketing of it. Because he wants to
It's one of those, hey, look at this. Isn't this cool?
Right. He wants to put as little into actually producing product so that he can get the biggest return on his investment. It's not about art. It's not about even producing legitimate content. It is about
dollar.
Right. And it's literally like, what is the minimum amount of work that I need to do to be able to provide a film so that you won't walk out of the theater and demand your money back?
Yeah.
That's literally the minimum viable product is literally what he is going for every single time.
What can I do to make you, to fool you assholes to give me your money and then not ask him for it back?
Right. But like, he's making movies, right? He's still going. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's been doing this enough. He's got his own company at this point, and he's found a way to take every single turd and polish it up just enough to sell it as Shinola. Every single one we've watched so far, because I can't really think of one that I really super would want to watch again, except for maybe the biker ones. And even those are the lesser biker movies that I wouldn't go to as often.
Yeah.
You know, to just be perfectly honest, right? I mean, like, I'm just going to say it. None of these have been what I would call a good movie. For you, has that been true?
Yeah, no. None of these have been good movies. That's a fact. I'm just stating that at least in this movie, it had more of at least an understandable, again, I don't want to say plot so much as a flow to it more than the last one.
There was
not a clip show.
There was a through line you could take notes on that made some out of sense for you.
Yeah. I watched yours and I'm like, I don't know how you took notes on that when I watched yours. I was like, that would, this would be the most difficult thing that for fucking anything.
I put as much effort into my notes for last week's film as Adamson put into making last week's film.
There you go. That's about it.
That's kind of the only way that we're going to be able to handle this, right? Like at this, at this point, it is beyond an endurance run for us because we had a taste of what it was like without Adamson in our lives for one fucking week. And it was so good, Matt. It was nice, so good. Yeah. And now we're back in the fucking muck. And I don't want him to fucking beat me, man. This is like fucking trench warfare with this cheap motherfucker at this point. Like, I mean, we need to take another week off. That's totally fine. We have another fucking, we have one more. I did a show with Richard that we have a canned episode for that we can totally use if we need to take another break. And I'll drop one more Adamson film off the list. And I'm already going to do that no matter what. Even if it's like the next to last episode of the year, I'm going to just.
We're just going to take a week off.
Yeah, we're just going to take a fucking. At least one episode off, right? One of us won't have to take notes for 1 week. Even though reality,
we'll still have to do it. It'll just basically be a way for me to be able to record your 10 in advance.
Anyway, anyway, like we're going to get at least one more break coming up with this, but essentially Adamson is not going to be this. We're going to drop one more Adamson film and that's it. And then the rest of them, we're just going to power through. Like,
yeah,
I've oh, fuck, man. And it's going to be worth it. Like for year 10, it's still going to be worth it. I swear. This is not a Carney trick, guys. I just don't want to fucking spoil it.
We're not trying to fool you. All right.
I'm literally standing up at this point right now to record because my watch told me to, and then two, because I'm so fucking bored, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, right. Hey, you got to stay awake. If I got to deal with your pablum, you got to help me out with my pablum.
That's fair. So why don't we take the break here since we've delivered, right. I think, more than enough pablum to pad out this episode. For the Pirate Radio edit this week, up first is not going to be The Who for you. It's going to be one of the other bands from the 70s that I said that was going to be a nice little treat. And all in right. this case, it just so happens to be Slade with the song 'Cause I Love You. And it'll be played right after this.
This'll keep it quiet.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you. You caught me cutting a new show. I'm Bo Ransdell, and I'm one of the many creators you can find on Legion Podcasts. I said quiet! My fellow podcasters and I work hard to bring you the best in horror podcasting, but that comes at a cost.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Not that, but also, yes. No, what I'm getting at is that there are server costs, costs for good microphones and software for editing, all the things that make our shows, you know, fun to listen to. And you can help. If you're enjoying the shows on legionpodcasts.com or in the Legion Network available on iTunes and Stitcher, just about anywhere you can download a podcast, really, you can help us out and get a little something for your trouble at patreon.com/legionpodcasts. For just $2 a month, you get a pair of movie commentaries exclusive to Patreon, and for $5, you can also join us for a monthly screening of a movie. All of that available on patreon.com/legionpodcasts. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Now, back to the cutting room.
1971, Slade was recording shit of that caliber, folks. Like, get with fucking Slade if you haven't already.
Yeah, right? No shit.
Well, why don't we give the audience what they want, and let's get with Brain of Blood from 1971.
The Brain of the Blood. Woo! The first 20. We open at a palace, and two dudes are talking, and because there's dialogue, it's going to be our first clip.
Bear.
I brought the American woman as you ordered.
Tracy, I'm glad to see you.
Amir, have you decided?
Dr. Nixirian?
The uranium treatments have failed. Cancer is spreading.
See, I am dying.
We pray that Allah will spare our leader.
What about the people?
They suspect nothing. All Kali believes that you are vacationing at your villa.
Good. Very good. Leave us now, Mohammed. I would like to talk to Miss Wilson and Robert.
Well, Amir?
I want to live.
Then you'll have to risk the operation. As soon as you have passed away, your body will be flown to the United States.
And within 15 hours, your brain will be transplanted to a healthy body. And in a week, you'll be back ruling Khalid.
But why can't the operation take place here in Khalid?
Dr. Trenton cannot leave. Besides, there's the question of secrecy.
Yes, it must be a secret.
I'll see to that. You're too great a man, Amir, to perish. Your people need you.
If Dr. Trenton does succeed, he must be paid, no matter what he demands. And I owe you a great deal, too, Tracy.
Your gratitude is more than enough, Amir.
I've grown very fond of you, Tracy. What would you say if I were to ask you to roll Khalid with me as my wife?
Oh, Amir, that would be more than wonderful.
Then make sure the operation is a success.
All right, so I cut out as much dead space as possible, but there was...
there's a lot.
Yeah, there were a significant amount of pauses between that. The dialogue you are being delivered now feels like a 1960s TV drama like you would get on Dark Shadows, right?
Yeah.
Like it's that level where like they're talking, but they're just close up and getting the dialogue and everything seems to be working. It's just a bit overdramatic. Now, enter into the Shatnerian pause that happens in between those lines being delivered, and you can kind of see some of the people glancing down at something to read, like a picture or something like that, before they deliver the line of dialogue. And that is the level of movie that you didn't watch and only listened to this episode about.
Yeah.
Unless you actually watched it, then good on you, because you are suffering right along with us.
Yes. You know what? Thank you. Thank you for suffering with us.
We appreciate your support.
Yes, your sacrifices have been noted. So anyway, while the guy dies and they bring his body to this doctor, they uncover the body and, hey, more dialogue. It's our next clip.
That's fair.
No one can replace you. You were a light to our people. And he will be again. Carl, you're about ready?
Almost, doctor.
How long has it been dead?
14 hours. 25 minutes.
You don't have much time. Wait, let's get started.
I'll just be a moment, Doctor.
Dr. Trenton, where is the body to replace Amir's?
It'll be here soon.
In my country, many would joyfully die to save Amir. Many with the right bodies, the same physical characteristics.
I know, but we haven't the time. We must finish what needs to be done in a matter of hours.
The replacement must resemble Amir.
In general, physiognomy, yes. Plastic surgery will take care of the rest.
Dr. Trenton, Amir is a legend in Khalid. Without him, it would be another poor nation struggling to break out of centuries of stagnant feudalism. He must live on. He must. Yet, if we fail, and the people discover that we have deceived them, Allah, we will not fail. You see what I'm about to perform as a dangerous, even illegal, surgical experiment. I look upon it as the culmination of centuries of research by myself and my colleagues all over the world. Every aspect of this operation has been considered. There isn't one chance of failure. This incredible machine allowed me to advance in my medical skills far ahead of my colleagues. It's permitted me to cut through the skull without damaging the brain.
Okay.
All right. So then we cut to some dudes wandering around alleyways. More of the operation. This is all kind of just visual now. Then we see that dude who was in the alleyways. He's scaling a building. He's obviously a thief. We go to more surgery. This guy, he breaks into a room through a window in an apartment. He's stealing stuff. And a lady comes home. So he hides in a closet. Well, the lady takes off her top, looks around, and then there's this really big, tall dude there. She screams and faints, and the huge man grabs the thief and throws him off the building, lands on the ground, and that takes us to the end of the first 20 minutes.
We need to talk about this surgery footage a little bit here.
Yeah.
It looks really real because it is.
We got to look good at that red paint.
Yeah, but it is real. There are some components to it that are real. It's not really surgery, but what it is things being cut open and moved aside to reveal actual, like, well, awful, O-F-F-A-L. Like, it's, I think it is actual brains from an animal that was provided by a butcher. And then, other guts and things to simulate for cutting and to look like this. Yeah.
Because what they make human brains look like, it looks like just like a steak, man, a raw steak or something. It's flat. It doesn't really look like the human brain as we know it.
Right. It was just some leftover awful stuff that the butcher dropped by for them to use. But
exactly.
Yeah. So it is real animal matter of some sort, just not the correct animal matter to sell this sequence. And he's really hoping that just the grossness of the animal matter will make you feel awkward and uncomfortable enough that you won't care that it doesn't look anything like an actual brain.
Yeah. That is definitely what he's doing. But at least they're using stuff.
Right. I mean, like, he's making a half-hearted attempt at somewhat trying to satisfy the customer because he knows that if it's too awful, you're just going to get up and leave.
You're going to want your money back.
Right.
The worst thing that can happen.
Right.
Ask for your money back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that he doesn't want to have happen.
Yeah.
We can move on.
Of course. We're good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the brain then comes out, and this leads to our next clip.
I thought the transplant would be affected immediately. Oh, you were mistaken, Mohammed. But I'll be concerned. Everything's going as planned. But they told me that the brain cannot be kept alive independently of blood circulation. That's been taken care of. Carl, we'll need to replenish our blood supply.
Would you like to have me? Would you?
Leave us alone.
Please, go away.
If there are, it depends on what the complications are. Don't try to impress me with the risks we're all taking. For 20 years, I've endured public humiliation and professional ostracism for this opportunity. And you, Mohammed, you came to me because you had no other place to go. So I think we all understand how important it is that absolute secrecy be maintained.
We'll be staying close to the airport. In 3 days, we'll return to take Amir home.
I apologize for Mohammed, Doctor. Amir was, I mean, is a god to him.
an emotional factor that must remain irrelevant to what we're doing here. I count on you to understand that.
I promise you he won't interfere again.
Nor will anyone else. Goodbye for now, Doctor.
Goodbye. But, Doctor, the transplant, the most sensitive part of the operation, surely you'll want my assistance.
Doro?
Yes, Doctor?
Bring Dr. Nixarian's coat and hat. You know my friend?
Yes, of course.
Though this may come as a surprise to you, he's been well trained in my techniques, far beyond your wildest dream. He will assist.
Doctor, without proper help, the risk involved...
Risk? There's no risk. What do you think, I am an amateur? Doctor?
No, of course not. I suggest 48 hours sufficient time for you. I'll be back then.
As you wish.
Well, we just left. You know what to do.
I've got what you're worried about, too.
Put him in the laboratory.
Do you really trust that man?
To succeed in this? Yes.
What will it cost our country?
You don't know him. He's not after money.
What is he after?
Personal vindication, influence, power.
It makes him even more dangerous.
And when has there been a nation without danger?
You fool, you idiot. A young, healthy body.
What good is this broken-up mess?
Damn you. I should have known better than to trust you with the simplest task.
The blood, Doctor.
Young, healthy male body, the central element of this entire project. And I entrusted it to that imbecile.
But he can get you another body. I'll go with him this time.
We haven't time. I need a body now, this instant.
You're not thinking of Gore.
Do I have another choice? He has no family except us. His mind is that of a child, and he owes his life to me. Now he can pay me back.
Gore! But, Doctor, he won't serve your purpose. He couldn't take the place of that man.
But he can buy us a little time.
Did you recognize the little person in the film that's playing the evil, wicked, sadistic assistant?
I'll be honest, I didn't.
He is Master, as in Master Blaster from He Who Runs Bartertown. This is a much younger version of him, like in the 70s. Huh. Yeah, and I believe some of our more, let's say, classic film watchers would probably recognize him. I think he was also one of the performers in the sideshow for the movie Freaks from Todd Browning. I think he may be the one that talks about the loving cup. One of us. I do believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I know for sure he is Master from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, damn. Nice.
He Who Runs Bartertown, folks. That's the sadistic assistant in this.
That's awesome.
We can move on. I just needed to say that. I'm sorry.
Hey, man. No, that's cool. That's a good bit of trivia. So the group that is now leaving, the leader's men, as they're driving, another man is driving and runs them off the road and the car crashes. The doctor is able to jump out and is the only survivor. Not the scientist doctor that removed the brain, but the guy who assisted him and who is the personal physician to the leader. Well, we cut back to Gore is going under now, and the doctor reminds him that he saved him after an acid attack. Well, this leads to a Gore flashback where he's just a guy playing with a toy. You know, he's developmentally disabled. And then two guys who are working on a car start messing with him, break his toy. So he punches one of the guys, and then the other guy knocks him out. He falls down, and they pour battery acid all over his face.
This feels like it was taken from another movie. Like the way
that could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the like, it just
that
feels,
very well could have been.
Yeah. I don't know what it was taken from, if it does, but everything of Al Adamson feels like it was cut from something else. Everything.
Yeah. Everything. All the time. Even if this wasn't, it still feels like it. I get that. But at least this fits in with the fucking story.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So, anyway, surgery is then complete, and this leads to our next clip.
He's very strong. Won't take him long to recover from the anesthesia.
Gore.
Gore?
It isn't Gore anymore.
Poor Gore. I'll miss him. He was the only friend I had. Such as he was.
Well, what about your friends in the cellar?
Wake up, pretty girl. Wake up.
He can't. She's unconscious.
Wake up, pretty girl, so we can play. Don't you want to play?
Stop tormenting her. Can't you just let her die in peace?
Soon I'll have you to play with. Just like I play with your pity.
Where are you taking her? Where are you taking her?
Soon she will be with her friend.
Don't take her away.
Don't worry. She will be with her friend.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. So then the other lady, who I believe is also from the apartment, she's able to get free from her shackles, and she makes her way around this dungeon hole area cellar. She finds the dictator's, the leader's body. I call him a dictator, the dictator's body. Really, it's a lot of crawling around, and that ends that 20 minutes before we go into the next.
Yeah, it does feel like about 20 minutes of crawling the way that they do it.
Yeah, she crawls around. It's a real kind of basic dungeon set. That kind of thing, kind of haphazardly put together, like fake rats around, all that kind of stuff. So whatever you're going to see, it is what it is.
Yeah, later on, she finds a fucking spider just resting on
her. Yeah, it's on her arm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and it's definitely a fake spider that they're pulling a string on to make a move.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. What have I done, Matt?
I don't know, man. You bought these box sets, and then you felt like, you know, everyone should have to suffer.
Yeah, I bought this box set, Matt. I did. Yeah.
You did this to yourself. You worked hard. Kurt, I know you. You worked hard for your capital gains in this world. I know you do. And you spent, so you worked hard to watch this. Just think of that. You worked hard to put yourself through this. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, but on top of that, Matt, not only did I work hard to be able to purchase the box set, but I also work hard to produce this podcast about this box set.
Listen, man, I rarely call your ideas into question, but...
Oh, dude, it's making great shows, though. I know it is.
It really is. Good shit. Sometimes our suffering is the best thing you can have.
I think for a generally sadistic audience like ours, this is the gold that they've been waiting for.
Yes. Yes. It's not just one of us suffering. It's both of us suffering.
And it's all of us together.
Yeah. Everyone together. No one's having a good time.
Let's just end everyone suffering and get moving with the next 20.
All right, the next 20. All right, 20, next 20. So, Tracy, the lady from the beginning of the movie with the dictator, she lands and is met by Bob, and that is our next clip.
What are you doing?
I'm afraid there's been some trouble. Come on, I'll tell you about it.
What's happened? Is Amir safe?
Yes, but Mohammed is dead. Our cow had turned this morning. He was killed instantly.
I won't pretend to be sorry. He was always jealous of my influence on Amir. What's happened to your hand?
Just a cut.
From the accident?
It wasn't an accident, Tracy. We were deliberately forced off the road. I saw the man who did it.
What was he after?
Maybe he wanted Amir's body. You know, if the world believed he was dead, all our plans would be worthless. Even if we managed to keep him alive in another body.
There's no way anyone outside the group could know. Amir and I saw to that. Impossible.
All I know is that someone is trying to stop us.
Bob, what about Dr. Trenton? Do you think he could be involved in this?
It doesn't make sense. His only hope of vindication is in our hands.
In Amir's hands, not ours.
Tracy, You brought Dr. Trenton to us. You continue to believe in him even after every major medical institution in the world had blacklisted him. Why should you have doubts about him now?
I know him better than you do. I've always respected his skills, not his motives.
Then we better get back to him. Quickly.
All right. Well, we're back to the dungeon lady, and she finds a dude all chained up who's just kind of muttering shit. And then we cut back to the hitman who drove the car off the road, and he calls the doctor and tells him the job is done. And the doctor says if he left the car where he told him to, and the guy goes, I did. He goes, well, then your payment will be at the car. Well, the guy driving Bob, he sees the hitman, knows what he looks like, so he stops. And then we get a bit of a chase slash fight scenes where he's fighting him. And then they chase, fight, and chase. Eventually, the hitman gets away from him, gets to his car, turns it on, and it blows up on him. So, and the hitman is killed. So then we cut back to Tracy and Bob, and they are driving away, and that is our next clip.
I'm certain it was the same man who forced me off the road.
How can you be sure?
Oh, I'm sure. It doesn't matter now anyway.
Do you still think someone's trying to destroy Amir?
Well, I can't think of any other explanation, unless...
What?
Unless it's Dr. Trenton they're after.
Oh, we'll be leaving soon.
Where are we going, Doctor?
In a country that appreciates me.
Is that girl going with us?
No, she stays here.
Ah, good. I didn't like her anyway. Doctor, is Gore dead?
It depends on what you mean. He'll be waking up soon. Do you realize what I've done? I've proven that the brains of great minds can be transplanted intact and passed on from body to body for generations. Great minds can live forever, or the world will be ruled by a race of immortals.
But what'll happen to your brain, Doctor? If no one else knows your secret, who will operate on you?
Someday I'll teach my secret to others in a country controlled by me and dedicated to my science.
Then will you put my brain into a bigger body?
No, Doro. I like you just as you are. I wouldn't trust you in a taller body.
Okay.
What a jerk.
Right? I just want to point out, too, by the way, this is basically the plot of Ghost of Frankenstein, where Igor wants to have his brain put into a bigger body, but you obviously can't trust Igor to put his brain into a bigger body.
No, I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty sure it's Ghost. It's the one where Bela Lugosi plays Igor, and he's like the creepiest Igor, because he's got like a broken neck and shit. I'm pretty sure that's... No, Son of Frankenstein. It's probably Son of Frankenstein. Ghost is the one after that, when Bela Lugosi is the monster, and that's still more fun to talk about than this shit.
Well, then this leads to this is where we cut to the lady with in the dungeon and the spider, the very fake looking spider that's obviously being pulled by a string.
The front two legs keep dipping down into her hand as if it's biting her, but she doesn't notice it. And that's the only thing they get to move. And it's because her hand is hiding the string they're pulling the spider with.
Obviously, something's infecting her because now she's just barely crawling around and she's all acting like she's poisoned. And she finds a lot of dead bodies, including the one of the young woman who was chained next to her, and she promptly faints. Bob and Tracy show up. The small man sends them in and then starts fucking with their car. They meet with the doctor, and that is our next clip.
Tracy, I've been expecting you.
Doctor.
Robert, back so soon?
I think we're in very serious trouble, Doctor.
Something happened. So Mohammed and the man who killed you both are dead? You were most fortunate.
Indeed. I wouldn't even be here if the killer had trouble to search for me.
What does it all mean?
Bob believes someone is trying to kill Laura Mir.
I find that difficult to believe. After all, no one knows we're here.
Well, the man who killed Mohammed certainly did. And we can't assume that he's working alone. Doctor, I want Amir back in Khalid as soon as possible.
So do I, but for the time being, he can't be moved. After all, we can't take the risk of any unforeseen complications.
Well, can I see him at least?
Of course, I'll take it to him myself.
Where is he?
There's no one here but Gore.
Well, there have been some unexpected developments.
What? Didn't you perform the transplant? Couldn't you find a suitable body?
Well, that's been done. Are you awake? Good afternoon, Amir.
Who are you?
Well, surely you remember.
Dr. Trenton. Thank you, Doctor, for what you've done. My head feels so heavy.
You must rest. Lots of rest. How dare you? I've done upsetting.
Amir? Is that you, Robert?
Yes, Amir. How do you feel?
I'm somewhat dizzy. but stronger, much stronger. You were right about this operation, Roberts.
Was I?
Tracy with you?
Yes, I'm here.
And where's Muhammad?
You must rest.
Where's Muhammad? Why isn't he here?
Rest.
There's no time for that now. We've wasted too much already. I must send Muhammad back. Get these things off of me.
Muhammad is dead.
Dead?
Now you mustn't get upset, Amir.
Get me out of this.
You mustn't upset yourself. I'm controlling yourself.
Why are you looking at me like that? What's wrong? What's the matter with me?
Nothing. Amir, listen to me.
Stay away from me. Why have you done this to me? You made me a freak.
It's only temporary. I had to make the transplant on the only accessible body to keep you alive.
I'd rather be dead.
You touch my instruments! You fool! Come here! Come here! Gar! Gar! Gar, Hardy, please! Gar! Gar! Let him go! Don't hurt him! Please, Gar! Please!
I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel strange.
Amir, I think there's something you should know. Muhammad was murdered.
Tracy, no!
We believe there's a plot to overthrow your government, to make Khalid believe that you are dead.
Then I must return immediately.
Amir, don't. Please don't.
Are you trying to stop me, Robert?
You're not well. The operation isn't complete yet. Dr. Trenton can do what he says. Believe me.
Don't listen to him. He's one of them.
Tracy, are you out of your mind?
I must have a car. I need to get to the airport.
Come on, we'll get one on the road.
Where's Amir?
Gone with Tracy.
Well, we'll stop him.
He won't get far on foot.
I'm going after
him. Doctor? What'll I do with him?
Put him in the cellar. He's our final guest, but take good care of his body.
Okay.
And that will lead to the final 20 minutes.
All right. So I want to just make sure that I'm following the story here, right?
Yes.
This dictator guy, or who you think is a dictator, but the ruler of this Muslim nation.
It's obviously a Muslim land.
Yes, right. He was dying of cancer, and as a last-ditch effort, they're going to do this illegal brain operation in the United States. So they fly him there to do that operation. Is that correct?
Yes, and here's what it is. They don't feel like anybody else can lead the country other than him. They feel like the country will go, like, I think even Muhammad even said that it would end up like other similar countries and just would be a mess without his leadership. So, yes, they want to all do that for him. They want to take the brain, put it into another able-bodied person, then do some cosmetic surgery, and everyone will just think he is... You know, he's still alive, and everyone will just think that that's how it is.
Right. Okay. So that's the plot line, but they have the car accident. So the guy that they were going to put him in dies. All of the people protecting him die, right?
No. They were going to find a body, and Gore found this thief who would enable body. But the problem is Gore, being kind of clumsy, instead threw the guy off the roof, breaking his body. So that's when the doctor's like, I can't use this body. It's completely and utterly broken. All the bones were broken.
It's like
so that's why they put
him
into Gore to hold it over until they could do another surgery and put him into somebody else.
Yeah. So it's a reverse.
It sounds like there are ulterior motives because the doctor's obviously wanting to kill off all the people surrounding the leader. And we see that the doctor keeps talking about how he wants to live in a country, his own country, one that supports his medical and science and all that. Uh-huh. So now you start to think maybe he's trying to use this to get into that country.
Okay, that's making a little bit more sense, and you definitely followed the dialogue a lot more closely than I did at this point.
Well, probably because I was doing the notes. So
that's fair. I just guessed that I wasn't getting, like, I knew that the doctor was bumping all of the guys off, but I assumed that it was one of the guys that came with him that they were going to do the surgery with, and that
they were going to provide the body. Doctor was
right. So, and I knew that the guy getting thrown off the roof was like going to be the body. I just thought that that was one of the guys that came with them. That was where I was confused.
Oh, no. That's just some thief.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially Gore is just basically basically like a Frankenstein's monster character that he can kind of control. But he
was just, what it was a bigger guy who was mentally, you know, developmentally challenged and but he had super hardcore strength and he had acid poured on himself. Most likely this doctor found him and helped, you know, save his life. And so then Gore, you know, became just his henchman.
But he also has kind of got something that he can control him with now too.
Yeah. But now there is no more Gore. Now Gore's gone.
Right. It's this dictator guy that he is going to control.
Yes. That's why Gore agreed to the surgery. I mean, not that he had to agree. It's just doctor told him that was what's happening.
Yeah. All right. Let's just finish this off or whatever time we have left.
Let's head to this last journey. Yeah. Hey, man, again, acting wise, you know, the sets, everything. Yeah, it's all cheap and all that. But the story is actually kind of interesting.
It's more tell than show. So if you're not prepared for tell, then and you want to see show, you're not going to get that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So the final 20 starts. The doctor goes looking as little man moves the unconscious dude to the cellar. He finds the lady missing and he's kind of pissed about that. Tracy and the leader, they try to get a car and they get one to pull over. The leader kills the passenger, but the driver is able to get away with the car. The doctor starts using this machine he has and it starts sending scans to the leader's head. So it's causing him pain. Tracy says there's a car a mile away and they will have to try to make it there. Then we see little man has found the lady and drags her back to the main room, but then she's able to get free and stabs him with a needle, killing him. Bob wakes up and that is our next clip.
Catherine.
How did I get
him? He must have dragged him. He's dead. I killed him.
What's wrong? Are you hurt?
A rat. Bit me.
A rat? That can be dangerous. Let me see it. I have to do something about that. By the way, where in hell are we, Jim?
No. Certainly isn't hell.
The dwarf. Did he bring it?
He and something that looked like a plastic surgeon's nightmare.
A what?
They called him Gore.
Gore? Amir.
What did you say?
Nothing. I'm afraid I'm going to have to torture you a little bit. Yeah. That's better than nothing. Time being in here.
Thank you.
Come on, let's try and find our way out.
Afraid this is done for. Hold us. We're gonna have to walk it. I have to find someone.
Who?
The man you call Gore. Come on.
So then we cut to the doctor finds, as he's searching, finds that passenger on the roadside dead. Then Bob and the lady, they, of course, we see get the gun from the car. They find the dead guy as well. And this leads to our next clip.
I've got to find him before he kills someone else.
The man's insane. He'll kill you, too.
No, I don't think so.
You can't take that risk. Wouldn't stand a chance against him.
You don't understand. He's my friend. Or was. I can't just leave him.
Creature like that can't have friends anymore.
Look, this road, it goes into town. You'll be safe there. Aren't you afraid?
Yes, I am. But I want to stay.
Well, then we cut to a little kid's running around playing and he sees the leader and he has a toy gun. The leader sees him and just starts saying, mine, mine, and chases after the kid. Now, there's a lot of more cat and mouse running around for the kid. And he runs into Bob and the lady from the basement. He points them to where the dude is. And Bob gives lady the gun and says, listen, he's going to head over there. If you see him coming at you, use the gun. The doctor catches up to Tracy, and that is our next clip.
I was beginning to worry that you couldn't find us.
Were you? Or were you planning on using Amir for yourself?
If we stayed at the house, he would have killed you. Anyway, as soon as Amir started having headaches, I knew exactly what was going on.
You knew that the electrode I placed in his brain could be used to trace him?
I'm not a scientist, Doctor, but I know you better than you think. Do you know where he is now?
Not far away.
He's been gone a long time. What if he doesn't come back? He'll be back. What was that?
Put the gun away. I won't hurt you.
Don't come any closer.
Don't be afraid.
Just keep away from us.
You don't understand. This body isn't mine. I can't control it. I've been betrayed. I've been used. I need help.
Who are you?
My country is far away. Their people aren't afraid of me. They love me. They need me.
Then go back to them.
I will. But there are people who would try to stop me. You must not tell them that you'll see me. You must not tell.
What is it? Are you hurt?
Don't touch me. He'll soon learn what's causing the pain and who can stop it. Then he'll have to come to me.
He'll kill you.
He can't. You see, this beam energizes the detector electrode I've placed in his brain. Causes great pain. I'll control him. He'll obey me.
Why did you turn him into a killer? He's monstrous.
That's a complication I hadn't expected. But at the moment, the important thing is that we find him and he must be controlled. Are you all right? I heard a scream.
The monster.
He was here.
This way. Come on.
Couldn't understand him. He was from a country far away where people loved him.
They do.
It's your country too?
It is now. You see, I was raised in England, but my father's from Kelly. You might say I have sort of a heritage to live up to there.
What do you do there?
I'm a doctor.
Not one of those men.
No, I'm not responsible for holding you in that house, but I was his assistant. I worked for him. I didn't know. No, that's not true. The bodies for the experiments, the blood, they had to come from somewhere. The truth is, I didn't want to know. I was too fascinated with the project, too concerned about Emil, too ambitious. Well, it's all over now. It's all finished.
You're not.
You don't know anything about me.
Who does? Who knows about you?
My brother, perhaps. My mother, a few friends back home. Oh, you?
Do they love you? Do they trust you?
I like to think so.
And you're all wrong?
You know, you're a very rare sort of person. I wish we had... He's dead to the world, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Catherine, I want you to do what I tell you. I want you to take Jimmy and go up to the highway.
No.
Please, catch a ride. Go into town and stay there. Try and forget what you've seen here today. Tomorrow we'll all be gone. We'll be back. We'll be gone.
Can't go back.
But that's my home. Like, this is yours. Now do what I told you. Come on, old boy. Wake up.
Will I see you again?
I don't see how.
Where have you been? Did you kill the boy?
Amir, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Amir, you're acting like an idiot.
Mine.
Doctor! 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 Doctor!
Amir, you've been causing a great deal of trouble. But I shouldn't complain. After all, you're about to pay me the biggest medical fee in history.
What do you want from me?
Isn't that obvious? I want your country.
You're insane.
You're hardly qualified to call anybody that. You've known how to command all your life. Now you must learn to obey.
Never.
Turn it off, Doc.
How'd you find us?
That's a very noisy little gadget you have there.
Kill him, Robert. Shoot him now.
No, Amir, there's been enough killing.
Kill him or Khalid is doomed.
Not Khalid. Just the four of us.
Robert, listen. There are others who still can be trusted to save.
You can't be saved.
That's a lie.
This whole experiment was nothing but a horrible mistake. The kind of mistake only madmen make. Amir is dead. This poor creature is an abortion. A horrible travesty of what Amir was. Of human life itself.
Evil? Is it evil to try to save your leader?
Yes. When he serves you and betrays our country.
I'll have to serve him unless you kill him. Kill him and I'll obey you. We'll rule Khalid together.
You don't even sound like Amir.
I am Amir.
I'm sure you think so.
Then you'll have to kill whoever you think I am.
Tracy, run! Get out of here!
Amir, go after them. Bring Bob back. Undamaged.
All right, so we got some more chasing. After a while, Tracy's captured and he throws her down a cliff, killing her. Then Bob and him get into a fight and Bob is knocked out and he carries him back. The doctor then transplants the brain again into Bob. We're back into the palace of that other country for our final clip.
Soon as they get the broadcast.
Stand by. People of Khalid, Allah has answered our prayers. And now I give you our beloved leader, Abdul Amir.
People of Khalid, I am here this evening to lay to rest all rumors about me that have been circulated among you by enemies of our country. During the past several weeks, I have had to work in seclusion, completing plans to enhance the greatness of our country. I have laid the plans for a great institution. People of Khalid and of the world, the presence in my house of a great American surgeon is not for the benefit of myself, but for the benefit of our nation. Tonight, I announce the appointment of Dr. Lloyd Trenton as director of Khalid's Ministry of Science, a department of government that is to be the largest, the best endowed of its kind in the world. My people, harsh sacrifices will be required to advance the great and revolutionary plans of this unprecedented ministry. But what sacrifice would we not joyfully accept? For Khalid, our nation has a new destiny, one to be shaped by science. My people, together, we must face changes which will require great strength and patience. Much will they ask of you, just as much will they ask of me. But as your leader, as one who loves you, I ask you to come together with me and face with courage the greatness which Khalid will know. And together, we will find the glorious future that science promises.
We see that the new leader has that cut in his hand, the same cut that Bob had, so the plastic surgery was a success. All throughout his speech, we see images of all the death and mayhem that has happened in the movie. Roll credits.
I have said that there has been no good Al Adamson film that we have covered on this series yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is approaching the closest to one that is almost entertaining enough to where you would call it good.
I agree. This is as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, so far. I do want to state that we're not covering Nurse Sherry on this go around or The Possession of Nurse Sherry, because we've already done that a long time ago. And we talked about the various versions, the porn induced version that I watched versus the regular rated R version that you covered that was in your notes. So that is one that I'm just going to say it. I would revisit Nurse Sherry, particularly the pornographic one, if you know what I mean. And I think you do.
Mm-hmm. Wink, nudge, nudge.
Right. So that is sort of like my template of a Al Adamson film that is entertaining enough, and I would watch even the R-rated one because there's still nudity and it was entertaining and fun. The Possession of Nurse Sherry was. So I would watch that one again for sure. The Wild Angels and that sort of thing, I would probably watch that again. Hell's Bloody Devils, I might, probably not. But the Wild Angels, I would probably watch again. And as well as the Satan Sadist, I definitely have watched that more than once or twice. You know, and there's another film coming up that we're going to be doing soon that I mentioned that I've watched a few times as well. But this one is approaching one that is really close to The Possession of Nurse Sherry in that I actually would look forward to watching Possession of Nurse Sherry again. And
yeah,
this one, Brain of Blood, is pretty fucking close to one that's like, yeah, it's cheap. Yeah, I've had a lot of complaints about it. And yeah, I've said a bunch of things that were definitely wrong with the film. Absolutely. But it's still got just enough gusto and entertainment, even though it's more tell than show, to where it almost makes you want to have a rewatch of it. And you definitely, the first time you watch it, this is not a I'm going to go to the lobby to demand my money back level of bad like some of the other ones were. Right. So
yeah,
that's all he cares about now. It's no longer a carny trick to make you think that you're entertained. It's literally just keeping you from being that pissed off enough to demand your money back, and that's the level of quality we're at.
That's pretty much it.
And this one,
but at least this had a story that like made sense, really.
Yeah, it's kind of comic booky and a little bit weird. Yeah. And it feels like a Dr. Evil plot and some James Bond kind of shit, which is very much with the times of the kind of movies that would be coming out around this era too. So you know, it's not all that over the top and weird, but it's just enough over the top and weird. I mean, like, the main thing that Adamson is missing is he just needs to throw more tits in his films, right? I mean, like,
come on, man. Isn't that hard?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you want to just keep people in a theater, no matter how bad your film is, just pop up tits every 10 minutes. That's what slasher films did.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are some really bad slasher films that I love rewatching
because there's titties in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, once he crosses that line, like he does with Nurse Sherry, where it's not even just nudity that he's including, but he's including like hardcore fucking sex in different versions of it. Like, it's game over, man. Like, you've won the audience over. It doesn't matter how shitty your film is because you gave them something that they'll want to see.
Exactly.
And they won't complain about how bad everything else is so long as you keep that shit flowing. Once he discovers that, we're going to be golden. But the thing is I think he resists that for the bulk of his career.
He's like, no, I have to have have some sort of moral upstanding about my movie.
Either that or he's so cheap he doesn't want to pay actresses to get naked or actors to drop
their kid. That's probably more along the lines how it is. That's some weird morality about I'll rob you of money, but I won't show you naked women. It's it's definitely I don't want to pay them extra.
All right. So you're going to have a story time then, I take it, this week.
Yes.
All right. I'm done talking about the movie, so let's take the break here. We're going to play the Kinks song that I promised everyone, at least one for Matt. There we go. It's coming up next with the Kinks and Alcohol on the Pirate Radio Edit. And immediately after that, we'll have our story time. Are going after alcohol, and I'm loving that song. That's great.
Hot damn.
So let's actually hear your story time and see how it might fit in with alcohol, because, well, that's your lifestyle,
right?
And that's our story time. Story time.
Story time.
I know how you like to hear it every time, so I might as well play it
for
you.
I really do.
I'm going to do that too.
It has nothing to do with this movie or anything else.
Well, but, it might have something to do with alcohol if it's a story of your life.
It doesn't actually this time.
I am shocked.
It's a fun adventure I had just this past weekend. My father turned 80 years old. And so we went down to where he lives he was having a big birthday party. My car eats oil. The engine eats oil. Its brand always does. It always has. It always will. Well, on occasion, though, that oil can get into the spark plugs. So my adventure was, as I'm on the interstate, about 2.5 hours away from home, my car starts chugging and my check engine light comes on. And I realize what that means. It means oil got into the spark plugs and it's causing issues. So I get to an exit out in the middle of nowhere. There's no nothing. Now, luckily, I brought extra spark plugs with me and all the tools I needed. But in the middle of gusty 35-mile-per-hour winds next to a farm where I'm pretty sure if they consider that their property where I'm pulled over, there was like this little turn area. It was all dirt and everything, but at least I could park there off the side. They'll shoot me. This is Missouri, rural Missouri. And so
they might just shoot engine, you for being there anyway.
Yeah, with a hot engine. And I changed out my spark plugs in like 10 minutes on a hot engine. Everyone was like, wait, you did it with a hot engine? I go, yeah, it wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world, but I didn't really have a choice. We were nowhere near. And then my wife was like, well, do you want to trust the car the rest of the way? I go, no. So we got to St. Joe, which is a town, bigger like city kind of in Missouri. And I rented a car from there and left my car. They're like, the guy was like, yeah, you can leave your car in our parking lot, but we we're not responsible if it's stolen. I go, well, if they steal it, they're doing me a fucking favor at this point. They'll catch them years later. They'll catch them like a few weeks after the car chugs out of them. I'd be like, well, and then for more fun, just with car shit, my car wouldn't start yesterday. And it was obviously the battery. And I got a battery report on it. And probably, the battery charge wasn't all that great. So I had to go about buy a new battery and replace the battery. So I'm quickly becoming someone who could do things with the car.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I wanted to comment on. The Matt that I have always known didn't know shit about cars and could not change his own spark plugs. So the Matt that I know now taught himself that in order to save himself money, right?
I taught myself how to remove a battery, and I've done that before.
Right.
I've taught myself how to change a tire. Not all that hard. And I've changed headlights before. Yeah. I have no idea. I probably could teach myself. I have no idea how to change my oil. Now, I know how to add oil to a car. That's pretty easy. But I've never, like, actually done a full oil change. So that's still something mysterious.
You got to have a way to get the oil out and something to store it in, and then a way to dispose it. It's kind of a pain in the ass to do it yourself.
It is. With the spark plugs, a mutual friend of ours helped me out with that. He gave me a good walkthrough because he's been renovating a very old car that he bought. And that's kind of become his pastime, is renovating that car. So he kind of has self-taught himself. So he taught me how to do the spark plugs. The reason I can kind of do it fast is I've had to do it a couple times. So
that makes sense. Yeah, like I said, the Matt that I have always known up until just very recently of you telling me this story. So
shit about cars.
Right, right. Like I've known you that you had thrown a rod and drove the car around until it fucking died after that happened. So that's the Matt that I have always known.
Exactly. Fun fucking times. But yeah, there's my story. Doing 75 on the interstate, and all of a sudden the check engine light comes on, starts chugging, and we had passed 10 minutes ago the only exit of population world, you know, where there were people. So now I'm out in the middle of fucking nowhere changing out fucking spark plugs.
I've seen like a billion horror movies that start that way, so I'm glad you guys made it out with your ability to change spark plugs before.
And because of the show, so have I. And if you think I wasn't thinking it, and I'm like, God damn it, this is where the dad dies.
I've seen this shit, and I'm the dad. I better change these spark plugs too quick.
Yeah, I'm the dad. Shit. I'm used to this shit.
Oh, that's awesome. That is the bright note that we need to end this on. So I'm going to play the show Housekeeping, and then immediately after that, I promised it, and now Matt's song from The Who, that is Behind Blue Eyes, right after this.
Yeah.
If you've decided you can't get enough of the show and would like to check out more of it, we're available at legionpodcast.com. Just do a quick search for Cinema Psyops, or just enter this entire URL into your browser, www.legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops-podcast. Also available along with all of the fellow Legionnaires on the Legion Discord chat. And now let's give you a rundown of the memes and how you're going to get them through Cinema Psyops. The easiest place to go is to subscribe to our Instagram feed, which is our main meme repository at cinema_psyops. Or you could also follow the Facebook page of Cinema Psyops, because they are immediately posted there after they get posted to the Instagram repository. And you can also check out the Facebook group of Cinema Psyops, and the memes are shared there. I am available on Facebook as Court Psyops, because the memes are also shared there as well. Thanks for listening to the show. I still can't believe that you're subscribed to us or here every week just like us. Song gets dark fast, doesn't it?
Yes. Good shit, though. It's a good fucking song.
Yeah. I figured that would be the one that you would want more than Baba O'Reilly, even though I figured you would be fine if we switched them that way, too.
I'd be fine if we switched them, too. They're both good songs, so I'm happy.
You gotta work pretty hard to find a Who song that's not fucking great, to be honest.
That's also a fact.
Well, while you're out there shaking your fist at me, declaring every Who song is not the greatest, kick the fuck out of this week and make it your bitch, while you hopefully enjoy at least T-Rex with the song Bang A Gong on the Pirate Radio Edit. And
recording in progress.
Alrighty, both recorders are rolling, so we got backup. I just need a second because I need to clear off this stuff, which I've just done.
Ooh, soaking up here. Time for me to start drinking bourbon.
As long as you can finish your notes.
You I'm just kidding. It's Mountain Dew. Bourbon's in the garage, Court. Come on. Where's my keep my cigars now? I got a new garage bar. Maybe that'll be story time. I don't know. I got a few story times, so I got some things loaded up.
All right, let me make sure this is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. You can hear it too then. So we're good to go. All right.
We're good.
All right, let's just give it a minute for the intro and for me to take some more hits because I sobered up during the last episode. So here we go.
And that takes us to the end of the first 20 minutes.
Okay, now I know why you barreled through.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's fine.
Would you like to have tea?
This is like 5 minutes. You want to just skip it?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the end. Oh, okay. Find your place in your notes because I got something to say for the end of the clip here.
Yep, I've got it.
Okay. All right, Court, clip number 8 needs cut the fuck down. There's a whole bunch of heavy, weird breathing you need to cut out.
Maybe people like that.
It's just for time, man. Let's move on.
All right.
Clip number 9 can be cut down, too. I've cut this down significantly, and it's still 4 minutes. Enjoy at least T-Rex with the song Bang a Gong on the Pirate Radio edit. I feel like everybody's heard that song, even if they don't know who the fuck T-Rex is.
Yeah, I think so. Everyone's heard that song.
Absolutely. And that's a great way to end your show.
Yeah. Everyone's heard that shit.
And let's end it.
Recording stopped.